we are being beaten down by so many things that are going on today. And if we don't watch out, we'll be grabbing for things that we don't need to be grabbing for. All we got to really do is hold on. Hold on to God's unchanging hands. Hold on to what God is doing for you day by day. We take for granted what God does for us every day, you know. We get up in the morning, thank God for getting up. We have something to eat. We don't thank God for having something to eat. It's raining outside. We don't thank God for having a roof over our head. Amen. We can start complaining about the job and people, places, and things. But when you learn to hold on to God's unchanging hand, you need to hold on to from the beginning to the end. The Bible tells me that he's the Alpha and Omega. We start our day from beginning to end with Jesus, with him on the line, holding on to that vine because we are part of the vine. Amen? This is a message that the Lord gave me. I got up my normal time at 3:46 this morning, and I'm going back and forth to say, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? And he said, go back. You know, sometimes you got to go back and reemphasize something that you did before. That's why we go to school and they teach us history so we can learn from the mistakes that people did. Amen? And he said, it's time for you to read this and go through this message again. So this message today is, and David went on. You understand? Sometimes somebody's going through something right now and you're going to have to go on. The scripture said, and David went on. Despite all the circumstances that happened in his life, and David went on. Do I have some people? I have some people in here today that have gone through some things and they went on this morning. Hallelujah. And David went on. David's rise to power was not a smooth ride. David had a lot of danger and setback and risk and escapes in his life. Have you ever had danger and setbacks in your life? Have you ever had to take some risk? Have you ever had to escape for something? Well, the Lord's faithfulness to David and David's faithfulness to the Lord brought him safely through all of his problems. Amen? It says the Lord's faithfulness to David, but also David's faithfulness to the Lord. You see, it was a two-way thing. A relationship with the Lord is a two-way thing. You can't have the Lord be faithful to you and you not be faithful to him. But see, David's faithfulness to the Lord and the Lord's faithfulness back to him. Amen? It went both ways. You see, while David killed Goliath and all of this fame spread about him, amen, he went through a whole lot of things before he got there. We know, even the children know, that his defining moment was at about age 15 to 16 when he fought and defeated Goliath. But following this victory, David enjoyed a summer of complete success. However, the happy times were short-lived because King Saul grew jealous of David, and he dedicated the rest of his life to trying to kill him, ignoring the normal duties of a king. Well, I don't know about you. I just heard something in there that said success sometimes is short-lived because the enemy comes back at you immediately. Have you ever noticed when we have a real glorified hallelujah fire coming down service, you go right outside the door and the enemy's right there? Sometimes you go home feeling good from the service or something that happened where the Lord done bless you. You testify, you go home, and the enemy is at the door waiting for you. So I want you to know, dwell in the success of the Lord. Don't let the enemy take your joy, because that's exactly what he's trying to do. It also told me that King Saul, he is a king. He spent the rest of his life trying to destroy David. There might be somebody who's jealous of you. The jealousy will go so far that their lifelong goal is trying to destroy you. I don't know about you, but I got different things to do with my life than to be jealous of somebody to want to destroy them. That my only goal in life is to get back at them. My only goal is to take things from them that God has given them. Saul's goal after that was to kill David because they praised him too much. They talked about him too much. They sang about him too much. They sang Saul can kill 1,000, but David can kill 10,000. Amen? They try to destroy you at work because the boss says, you know, that person's, you're good. But this one over here, they do 3 times as much as you can do without any effort. That's because the Lord is on your side. God's faithfulness, they don't understand that God's faithfulness to you allows you to go exceedingly, abundantly, and above what they can do. So you got people after you right now, but you're blessed. Amen? David loved the Lord so much that he coordinated the worship. He coordinated help installing the priests. And he worked with the musicians all day long. Every ship, David loved it so much. He would just work and work and work. He wrote many of the psalms to the Lord, and he arranged many of those that the psalmist, other psalmists wrote. But after this whole time that David did this, Saul still wanted David. But David went on. I want you to know that you might even know that person who's coming after you. Sometimes you know that person that's coming after you, that the enemy has put on your tail. But I tell you, don't worry about that tail and that enemy behind you. You just keep going on. Because when you go on, you got no time to worry about who's behind you and what they're doing. What you don't see won't hurt you. God is going to send the legion of angels around you, protecting each and every move that you make. Amen? David had ruled over Hebron and Judah for over 7.5 years. He had just been proclaimed king over all of Israel. His first act as king was to take possession of the ancient city of Jerusalem. The city belonged to the port of Benjamin, but the Jebusites had dwelt there so long and they had increased that the city was commonly called the city of the Jebusites. They resented David's purpose and they defiled him with bitter words. When you have purpose, they are going to defile you with words. Not nice words, but bitter words. They're going to resent you. They're going to hate you. But you have to go on. Amen. I spoke this to my wife, and it's become a mantra of mine. It says, the lion doesn't worry about the opinions of the sheep. He doesn't lose sleep over it. So as pastor, I can't lose sleep over opinions of the sheep. But let me tell you something. Wherever you are a lion. And you cannot lose sleep over the opinions. David went on. And the verse says, and he became more and more powerful because the Lord God Almighty was with him. And David went on and he became great because the Lord of hosts was with him. You see, David, he could have looked for a place to quit if he wanted to quit. We got to stop quitting when the Lord has designated you for something and he's given you assignment. Don't think it's going to be easy. But just as soon as there's a little adversity, we are ready to quit. We spoke about it in Bible study, that some adversity is for your betterment. Because after you go through the adversity, you become stronger. We can't let adversity knock us down. We have to continue to move on. David moved on, and the scripture said, and he grew stronger, and he grew greater. You see, your enemy knows that if you quit, you stop right where you at. You're not going to get any better, any stronger, or any greater. Let me tell you something about drugs and all of those things. They tell me when you take your first drug, whatever age that you're at and you continue to do that, your mind and your mentality stays at that level. So if you're 13 and you start doing drugs and you never stop doing drugs, people are dealing with the mindset of a 13-year-old. That's why they act the way they do. You turn around and say, oh, they're acting just like a little child. They are a little child. Now, when you overcome that adversity, that demon, that drug, now you start from that point moving up. And you're going to go through some adversity. You're going to go through some trials and some tribulations. Amen? David was 15 and 16. When he started running through his adversity, but he relied on the Lord and he grew greater. Why? Because the Lord of hosts was with him. I want everybody in here to know that the Lord of hosts is with you today. He is with you today. And you can grow stronger and you can become greater because that's what God wants for you. As long as you know that the Lord of hosts is with you and guiding you. So you listen for him, you seek him out, you call his name. David was, if he was looking for a place to quit, he could have did that. But David went on his responsibility because David knew that God had given him this responsibility. Now, when God gives you a responsibility, I want you to know he gives you a time. He gives you a place. And then he gives you the responsibility. Amen? God has given each of us a time, a place, and a responsibility. I'm talking from the Old Testament, right? But let me give you another scripture to break this down to you. It says, to everything, there is a season. It says, to everything, there is a season. And a time. So now there is a season. And there is a time. To every purpose under the heaven. That tells me there's a time, there's a place, and there's a responsibility. Don't get jealous of nobody because maybe it's not your time. Maybe it's not your place. Maybe it's not your responsibility. If it was your responsibility, he would have gave it to you. He knows more than we do. It's not what you think, it's what he thinks. We have to be faithful because the rewards of faithfulness are more than just results. See, we want results. I can do this because I can get results. No, you stay in your place because God is going to give you the time, the place, and the responsibility. And when you're faithful towards him, he will reward you. That's going to be more than the results that you're going to get. You want to take somebody else's responsibility because you think you can do it better. You might get some results, but you're not going to get no rewards. You might get some results, but you're not going to get rewards. I don't know about you, but I like rewards. Amen? They can give me 10% off of something. I'm going to go get my reward. Amen? But God, when he gives a reward, it's more than 10%. It's more than 100. It's more than anything that you could ever imagine. David went on in spite of resistance. He met a lot of resistance along the way. He saw the Jebusites in the city in the middle of the promised land. The city in the middle of the promised land. This is the promised land that Joshua fought for. And these people are in the city that Joshua fought for, but he never occupied. So the first thing that David did is he got him out of there. David knew that he must destroy the enemy within first. Remember, let's go back to drugs. You have to destroy the enemy within first. David realized he had to destroy the enemy within first. I'd like to know if you know who the enemy within you first is. Do you know who the enemy within you first is? I'm not getting no amens. I'm not getting an answer. I'm not getting nothing, but that's okay. The next time you look in the mirror, that's the enemy within. The next time you look in the mirror, that's the enemy within. That's the person you need God to help you with to conquer. That almighty person in that mirror. If you can't get over you, you're not getting over anything. Come on, somebody. If you're not getting over you, you can't get over nobody. You want your marriage to work? Get over you. You want to be able to have a relationship with your children? Get over you. You want to be efficient at work? Get over you. You want people to stop abusing you and doing things to you? Get over you. Let him do what you can't do. The first thing that David knew is he had to destroy the enemy within first. You see, they said we are so strong and you're so weak. This is how they taunted David. They said, there's so many of us. Your enemies are saying, there's so many of us. We're so strong. And you're so weak, David. They said, you know what, David? Our blind and our lame can beat you. Our blind and our lame can beat you, David. But David was not intimidated by the taunts. David was not intimidated by the trash talking. You know, people talk so much trash. They'll have your head spinning if you listen to it. They were talking trash to David, and he didn't listen. David went on. In life, in our walk with Christ, we have to walk on. We're going to get intimidated. They're going to talk trash to us. The enemy's going to talk so much trash to you. But you have to move on. As I listened to Deacon this Ireland this morning say the things that they said to him, he went on. My sister, she went on. In the name of Jesus, other people would have fell down and start crying. But in the name of God, our Father, Jesus Christ, Son of a living God, he held on. And they went on. And they went on. And they're here today, and they went on. And Bishop Morrison, and he went on, and he went on, and he went on. Don't think for a second. Let me tell you something about this world that we live in. Don't think for a second that when you reach a certain age, that they want to start telling you things. They want to make these little subtle suggestions to you. But when you got Christ, you can go on because it's not what they say. It's who you believe in. Hallelujah. Satan will taunt the believer, telling him that there's no way he can be victorious. I don't know about you. Have you ever been in a situation somebody said, ain't no way in that's going to happen? No way in that's going to happen. Well, let me tell you, that is coming straight from, and it can happen. Because the scripture tells me that my Lord is God, heaven and earth, and below. So he could say what he wants to say about it won't happen. But if God wants it to happen, it will happen. Amen? The Philistines, when they heard that David had been anointed king, they were threatening to take control over all of Palestine. They attacked and they attacked and they attacked. And David fought them 3 battles. And David did not quit. But when he finally finished, he won. Amen? His own brother, Eliab, was mocking him. His brother, the oldest, the first of 8 sons of Jesse. Jesse's youngest son was David. But David was appointed and anointed to replace Saul as king of Israel. Ahab experienced much resentment towards the Lord's choice, his brother David. You know, there's another thing that we do in this life. We tend to pick people who are tall and we look up to them. You ever see like people who want to be leaders all of a sudden, the tall guy, I don't know about you, but that happened to me. The tall guy always wanted to be the leader, thought they had these leadership qualities. No! We're not supposed to be looking up to people. We've been looking up to them so long. But God takes you whatever size you are. Short, tall, wide, small, whatever you are, God uses you. We can't let what we see physically determine a spiritual choice. Hello, somebody. When David went down to bring up the Ark of God to Jerusalem, David was so happy. Saul's daughter looked through the window and saw him dancing around half naked. She despised him in her heart. She scorned him and scolded him because he was dancing around like that. David was like, I don't care if you do scorn me, if you do scold me. I just brought the Ark of the Covenant back into Jerusalem. You can say whatever you want about it. I don't care that you're my wife. I'm going to dance to the joy of the Lord. So we look at this story and we don't get it. But then we turn around and now the world puts this thing out there that says, dance as though nobody's watching. David was dancing and he didn't care who was watching. He wanted people to watch. But the world tells us to be carefree today. But the Bible told us already to dance as though nobody's watching for the joy of the Lord. Amen? Amen. David was soaring on eagle's wings. He was so happy of what he did. So let me tell you again, when you are at the height of your happiness, when you're at the height of a blessing, somebody ain't happy for you. Be it your wife, be it your husband, be it your sister, your brother, somebody is not happy for you. An enemy's going to use somebody who's real close to you to touch at you. Amen? David, he went 15 years before he became king. He went 15 years running around, trying to get away from Saul, the man who was trying to kill him. And sometimes in our lives, we are running around from people that are trying to do bad to us. Amen? But there's a time that's going to come, just like David, that person who's going to be persecuting you, you're going to have the upper hand to do something negative to him. David, he just cut a piece of Saul's cloth off. He had a chance to kill him. Saul was relieving himself. He just cut a little piece of his clothing off, just so he'll know. Another time, he could have killed him. He didn't kill him. There's going to be somebody in your life, I'm telling you now, that you're going to have the opportunity to get them back. And I need to hear this for myself. There's going to be somebody in your life that you're going to want to, you have the opportunity to get back at them for something that they did for you, to you. Don't get back. Don't get back. Because the reward is going to be better than the result. The reward that God gave to David for his obedience was better than the result. Amen. Because what God gave David, he had already anointed him to be king. Saul couldn't, and no man could take that away. God has blessed each and every one in here today with something, some gifting, and somebody's trying to take that away. But they can't take it away from you, because once God has placed it on you, man can't do anything. But David continued to go on. Another example is when David started giving his riches to God. You know, David had all of these riches, and he really wanted to build this temple to put the gold and the Ark of the Covenant, all of these things in. But he didn't get that opportunity. It's sort of like Abraham. God led him to the top and showed him the promised land, but he never got in. You see, we do some things and God will let you know. You are disobedient to me, but I am not going to lose. I'm not going to promise you something and not keep it. He promised Abraham to get to the promised land. He brought him up to the mountaintop and he said, there it is. But you were disobedient to me, you're never going to get there. But his son Joshua let them in. David had his situations of disobedience. He never got to build that temple, but it never stopped him from doing his responsibility. In 1 Chronicles 29, it says, furthermore, King David said to all the assembly, my son Solomon, whom alone God has chosen, is young and inexperienced. And the work is great, because the temple is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now for the house of my God, I have prepared with all my might gold for things to be made of gold, silver for things of silver, bronze for things of bronze, iron for things of iron, wood for things of wood, onyx stones, stones to be set, glistening stones of various colors, all kinds of precious stones, and marble slabs in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection on the house of my God, I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, my own special treasure of gold and silver. 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the houses, the gold for the things of gold, and the silver for the things of silver, and for all kinds of work to be done by the hands of craftsmen. Who then is willing to consecrate themselves this day to the Lord? What David is saying here, he's given this not for man. When I spoke to you this morning about the offering, you give your offering not for man. David said, I give it for the house of my God. When you give to the house of the Lord, not for man. Amen. So many people think that they're giving to me, the pastor, wherever you go. You're not. It's not for man. David says, although I'm not going to get there, I'm going to do my part. I'm not going to worry about the inexperience and how young Solomon is, because he has already been appointed by God. We get caught up in what's going to happen after we're gone. It's Somebody say amen. We get caught up in what's going to happen after we're gone. So we start holding back and doing other things. But what God has appointed and anointed you to do, you do it. Because God is going to handle the aftermath. Amen? David is also saying to those, he says, who then is willing to consecrate himself this day to the Lord? He's saying, I will show you. I'm going to lead by example. In the next few verses, it says, then the leaders and the fathers and the houses and the tribes and the captains, they all started to give. But David showed by example. He donated over $100 million to God's work. No doubt, there was somebody who was saying, why would you do that? Why would you put all that money into a temple? There's so many things you could do with that money. You could buy more land, and you can build more chariots. You could have more gold necklaces. He says, no, I'm donating this to the Lord. David became great, and I want you to know today that we can become great in many ways. You can become great. You can become a great prayer warrior. You can become a great servant of the Lord. You can become a great soul witness. You can become a great supporter of the church. You can become a great standard bearer. Amen? David did all of these things, and he was only able to do them because the Lord of the host was with them. Amen? David trusted God's presence. No matter what happened to David, and we trust God's presence. Every time we're in a situation, we say, even though I'm in the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. David wrote that. In the valley of the shadow of death. If you analyze those words, when you're in the valley, if there's a shadow, there is something casting over you to make that shadow. A shadow don't come from nothing. Something's there. And David has said, I'm in this valley, even though I'm in the valley of death, and there's this shadow, I fear nothing. This morning, no matter what you're going through, the enemy wants to put that shadow over you. I'm here to tell you, fear nothing. For the Lord thy God is with you. So no matter what you go through this week, today, when you leave here, when you see that shadow, you look up to the God and say that the Lord thy God is with me. I fear nothing. Let us stand.